And welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading Open Water by Caleb Azuma Nelson. But first, let's talk book news. And we are overloaded with book prize news. It's gone into
From drought to overload.
From drought to flood.
Yeah, exactly.
As we literally do have in Australia as well at the moment. So everything is flooded. We're going to start with the Women's Prize, the much anticipated, and this is a bit late. It was announced a week or two ago, so we're a bit late, but the much anticipated. Anticipated Women's Prize long list. So the 16 long listed books, and we all had our predictions and so on, and it's not as I predicted it, but
a few of these haven't been released here. Some of them are coming out this month, so we kind of haven't caught up on the buzz yet.
That's true. So the 16 long listed books are Because of You by Dawn French. So that is as French and Saunders, that Dawn French. Mm-hmm. So she writes novels. I think it's not her first novel.
I had kind of written it off. Yeah. But I guess she's kind of in the Marion Keys kind of genre.
Yes. Yeah. So that could be interesting. Burnt Sugar by Avni Doshi, which we did on the podcast. And I think that's really strong.
Yeah,
that was on
amazing.
The Booker shortlist, wasn't it? Consent by Annabel Lyon.
So that's not only just out here. Yep, story of two women at boarding school, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Detransition Baby by Tori Peters, which is getting a lot of buzz.
Yes, and this sounds so fun. There's a person who transitions.
Yes.
So they're a trans person and then they decide that perhaps they would like to use their biological uterus to have a baby with their ex-partner who's now shacked up with someone else. So it's like
that's
messy, queer love triangle, all about bodies and fertility and sexuality and children and parenthood.
That sounds like a good premise.
It sounds so fun.
Yes. Exciting Times by Neisha Dolan.
Which we've already discussed.
How the One-Armed Sister Sweeps Her House by Sherry or Cherie Jones.
That's new out. I can't remember.
I have heard someone is reading that that's on my radar.
I've got a copy of it.
Luster by Raven Leilani,
which you enjoyed.
We did.
I didn't talk about that one with you, but maybe I think you read that over the summer.
I think that was a holiday reading recommendation, and it is a debut novel. It's very strong, very fresh, contemporary. It does fall into the millennial fiction category, well and truly, and it was a very interesting book and quite compulsive. That'll be a strong contender, Luster. No One Is Talking About This by Patricia Lockwood, who wrote Priest Daddy, didn't she?
And that came out yesterday and I'm so excited about it. And I think it sounds very close to Patricia's own life. It's about an internet famous person who travels around the country. They're also an author and they talk about various things. I think it'll be very Olivia Lang kind of novel in bits.
Okay, so that sounds good. And Nothing But Blue Sky by Kathleen McMahon. We've got nothing about that, but we'll fill you in. Piranesi by Susanna Clarke. So this is one of those books that has been everywhere, a lot of people reading it, some raving about it, and just doesn't appeal to me.
No.
I think it's got a magical element.
You wouldn't like it. But I think for certain types of, kind of fantasy readers, this is their absolute catnip.
Yes. That sounds like that's what's happening.
Yeah. Magical.
Yeah.
Epic.
And it's good. I think what you look for in these long lists is a range of different books.
Absolutely.
So there's something for everyone. Small Pleasures by Claire Chambers. Summer by Ali Smith. Loved that.
I mean, never read any of those. I probably should get on the whole quartet. I know.
Haven't you read them? Mm-mm. I didn't know you hadn't. Mm-mm. Have you read Ali Smith?
Okay. Yeah, I've read something of hers. Yeah. Not those. But now that they're all out, I might read them all as a quartet because I get a bit impatient sometimes and I'm annoyed if I don't finish something. So,
and I think the first one was autumn.
Yeah.
So you could start now. We're
in
autumn now.
Yeah, that's true. I could read them. I do love having a project for a year.
Yeah, do a seasonal read.
I will.
Then we've got The Golden Rule by Amanda Craig. The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett.
Ew.
I think that would have to be the favourite to win.
Maybe, yeah. Of the ones I've read, definitely. But that's not that many.
No, I haven't read many. Transcendent Kingdom by Yagi Arce.
Yes.
That's been getting
that
very
sounds amazing.
Good reviews.
Yeah, her previous book was really well loved. That was I'd be keen to read that.
So Homegoing was her debut novel, which was a huge success. Yeah. I didn't love it, but it was a very, very successful and she's only young.
Yeah.
And this one apparently is fantastic. Mm. That's Transcendent Kingdom. And Unsettled Ground by Claire Fuller, which I really want to read.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just keep hearing about it. Mm. So that is the long list for the Women's Prize. Mm. Always a great source of book recommendations,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Well, I think I've read three from the list. So
So I've done Burnt Sugar, Exciting Times, Luster, and Summer and The Vanishing Half. Mm. I've done quite well.
You're doing all right.
But there are some that I really want to get to from this list. Yep. The Dublin Literary Awards shortlist has also been announced. Mm. And this is an interesting prize because you don't really hear, it's not as famous, but it's actually worth, in Australian dollars, $155,000 or 100,000 euros. Mm-hmm. And it's for a novel written in or translated into English. Mm. So really, and it's all funded by the Dublin City Council.
Yeah, and I think all the libraries get to vote.
Yes.
So, which is lovely.
So it's an interesting prize and lucrative. So the shortlisted titles are Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardine Evaristo, Lost Children Archive by Valeria Luiselli, A Pyragon by Colin McCann, Hurricane Season by Fernanda Melchor, translated by Sophie Hughes, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong, and The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead.
That is such a strong list.
What a
list. How do you pick between those? I just don't know.
I don't know how they would. I'm just going to say Hurricane Season. Just because that's the one I've most recently read.
Yeah, how do you I don't know. A Pyragon's the only one I haven't read and I'm really keen to read that. I've heard incredible things about
it. Well, so was I because he came to Adelaide Writers Week and I had people telling me to read A Pyragon and so on and so forth. And then he was caught up in a sexual assault controversy. And so I'm just letting it sit for a while.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
I don't know. It's just the way the world is going at the moment.
Sure
but
is.
Yes. Now, our final news, it's just news overload, is the Folio Prize winner has been announced and it is In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I was really hesitant to read because I was hearing really mixed reviews. It's about the domestic abuse that she suffered at the hands of her partner. It's written in quite a dreamlike or very experimental kind of form. And someone at work read it and didn't love it. And then another couple of people were kind of like, no, I don't know. But I loved her short story collection, Her Body and Other Parties. And my partner read it recently and he loved it.
Right.
So I'm keen to go back to it. That's kind of galvanized me to read it.
Yes.
And he said
it's actually
not as heavy as the
subject matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That she kind of has quite a light touch.
Well, I have it on my shelf. Mm, so we could do that
we
one.
We could.
Yes. So now on to, we do have more book news, but we're saving that for the next episode. Now on to our book of the week, which is Open Water, a debut novel by Caleb Azuma Nelson. So Caleb Azuma Nelson is a 26-year-old British Ghanaian writer and a photographer. He has been named by The Observer as one of the top 10 debut novelists of the year. His short stories have won awards or been shortlisted, including for the National Short Story Prize 2020. And he says he's a writer first, but the photography is another way of expressing his ideas. And he talks about when he's writing, he starts with an emotion and he looks for what is the emotion and then how do you express it? And the writing is his first go-to, I suppose, that he's been doing since he was 4 or 5 years old. But then sometimes it needs photograph or it needs a visual or he has music that he references, and that's evident in Open Water. So it's really, I find that really interesting that he's getting to the emotion, and I think it is true that sometimes words are not the right way to express it, or sometimes you need words, and he has obviously has the creativity to be able to turn to different forms. So very talented. So Open Water is a short novel and it's about two young British, black British people who, it's a first love story. So they meet at a pub or a bar. There's immediately some attraction, but they're not immediately together. I think she was dating one of his acquaintances. So he sort of holds back and it just takes its course over the course of the book, and then there's, I think one of them goes away. It's a while since I've read it, Annie, so you have to update me. But one of them does go away for university and they're processing all sorts of things about the experience of being young and black in Britain, and that sometimes gets in the way of just relaxing into a nice, fun relationship. And so it's a, as we just talked about before we came on air, it's a will they or won't they story, but very short but very beautiful. It's been blurbed by Yagi Yasi, who we were just speaking about, as a love song to black art and thought. Candace Carty-Williams said, a beautiful and powerful novel about the true and sometimes painful depths of love. Nikesh Shukla, who edited The Good Immigrant, which we've done, I think, on the podcast, said Caleb is a star in the making. It's had wonderful reviews and been quite buzzy. I've seen a lot of people reading this. And what put it onto my radar was Daisy Johnson it, and she posted something on Twitter saying, I'm so excited about this book, and that was all I needed because her recommendations.
If Daisy says, you jump.
Yes, yep. That's right.
Fair enough.
So what did you think, Annie?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's a gorgeous book. It's quite sad. I definitely felt like both of the characters were real and full people almost from the get-go. He writes in this really open style, so it's got the second person voice, which is sometimes a little bit risky, I think, but I think in this book it draws you in and you can immediately just kind of picture, it's like a friend telling you
it is
their story.
And it's good you reminded me of that, because the second person is often a deal breaker for me. I just, for some reason, I immediately think, well, why are you writing this in the second
sometimes
person?
Sometimes it seems wanky.
And it can seem wanky, or there has to, but somehow the way he does it, it felt very natural.
I think for me the overwhelming feeling that I had about this book was that it was almost like a piece of music or an album. You know, there's a lot of repetition. He kind of comes back to central images and central phrases, like he repeats himself, literally the same words from chapter to chapter. And it did feel like a kind of refrain. And I think the you kind of fits into that you get it a lot more in music, that someone's telling you what to do or telling you how they're feeling. And so I think that's perhaps why it felt a bit more seamless than usually it does.
Yeah.
But also I think because there's two unnamed characters, so both of these, the man who's a photographer and the woman who's a dancer, neither of them have names throughout the book, even though other characters do. I think it's kind of universalizes it.
Yes.
That a word?
Yes, we'll make it a word.
Yep. It makes the experience more universal in a way, even though I, as a white Australian woman, are pretty removed from this experience of living in a black male body in London. But, yeah, I think it allows it to be less about their particular story and more about the social context that they exist in. The fact that they are black gets in the way of them being able to have a sincere relationship, even though with each other they are just themselves, and that's beautiful and lovely.
It does a lot for a short novel because there is such intimacy, and he captures that beautifully and the sensation, and he does get to that emotion of first love and those fleeting moments and the ephemeral moments when they're on the tube going from Victoria to Embankment or something, and just that song that they're listening to, and there's this beauty that he captures on an intimate scale, but then they're living with this inherited trauma that's very much a much bigger story, and he somehow captures that as well, doesn't he? And makes you realize how that weighs on them in different ways and how that impacts on their relationship, but that's a much broader story, and he does it all, as you say, quite seamlessly.
Yeah, I did think that was maybe one of my detracting points from the book. There was not even too much, but I think because it jumps quite – so it's probably over the space of a year, maybe a year and a half, the book, and I think there's very little filler. It's kind of all – not even action, but heightened emotion. So you don't get the kind of breathing space that you might get in something like Memorial, for example, where there's a lot of silence. In this, all the silence is filled with – either of the characters' thoughts or their act, like their movements, and they're touching each other, and it's all very it feels very atmospheric and charged.
Yes, yeah.
So I felt like I could have used a bit of a
it's intense,
a bit more of a lull from time to time, but then I think it kind of ramps up to this really beautiful and sad climax.
Yeah, there's a beautiful just turn of phrase. So on that tube ride, for example, they're listening to a song. There's a lot of music in this book, which is one I sort of wanted to have
a soundtrack
to it. And he says, "You feel you have never been strangers. You do not want to leave each other because to leave is to have the thing die in its current form." And I just loved that those moments where they're sharing the headphones and listening to this song and sort of dancing a bit, someone else on the train kind of notices them, and there's just this innocence and beauty in that moment. And then they say, you know, the narrator says, "You don't want that to end because that will never happen again," even though they'll have many more moments.
Yeah.
That is, there's something really ephemeral about it. So that didn't, in that sense, I felt there was a lightness.
Writing is beautiful. I think just it's a lot of a similar tone, which may be deliberate, I think, maybe to be, you know, the accumulated weight of experience, especially when those experiences are often negative with the police or, you know, just random strangers making assumptions about you that you don't necessarily agree with but don't get an opportunity to rebut, you know. Yeah,
yeah, I know what you mean, but you're right, that repetition is interesting because it does, that must be part of making you realise that these things keep being repeated and there's, it's all part of the rhythm of the book. I loved the writing, I thought was so, had so much rhythm and really propels you forward, and it is musical and very thoughtful, and like the passage I just read out, there's that real sensitivity about it.
It's but tender, it's, isn't it?
Still crisp.
Yeah.
It's not just trying to be flashy or lyrical.
No.
It's thoughtful but still to the point. I mean, maybe so much to the point that there's just non-stop intensity. But I loved that, and I thought the characters were really honest. They weren't overwritten. Mm. It felt very natural. It really felt quite real to me.
Yeah.
And then all the issues that it raises, the fear, the suppressed anger that they live with, which we've talked about, and just living as a black man in London sort of gives it a depth that takes it beyond just a you know, boy meets girl sort of love story.
And I think it's good on modern relationships because, as you say, the woman goes away to university, I think in Scotland, feels very contemporary of having to talk on the phone and, you know, chat on FaceTime, and that's the only contact that they get. And then, you know, making a spur of the moment decision to go and visit is a really loaded thing, especially in the early stages of a relationship. And they've got all of that hesitation between like, oh, will you make the first step or will I? And I think that open water conceit, which is the title of the book, is kind of about each of them pushing the other further and further out into untreaded waters or uncharted waters. And that is a really beautiful image, I think. Some of the imagery in the book is just stunning. And I think as you say, it probably leads into him being a photographer. And interestingly, the photographer in the book starts writing about his photographs because he feels like his photographs can't say everything that he wants to say.
Yeah, a beautiful book. So I really loved that. I thought as a debut novel, it's very assured.
It is.
And tackles some big subjects.
I'm excited to see where he goes.
Yeah. So that was Open Water by Caleb Azuma Nelson. And coming up next week, we have The Performance by Claire Thomas. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram, Litzy, and Twitter at Mr. _Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.